You know, they failed in this story, right? In fact, they're lumped in by Jesus in this kind of weird, harsh response. When Jesus comes down, asks them what they're arguing about, finds out what the deal is, he lumps them all together as the faithless generation, right? You unbelieving generation. Whenever the word generations used is not usually positive. And he lumps them all together. And in the end of the story, they're confused as they watch Jesus do what they thought should have happened through them. They're confused by it. Like, how come it happens for you, Jesus, and not for us? How come you were able to do it and not me? And they're told by Jesus, somewhat cryptically, and we may need to explore this a bit more, that this kind comes out only by prayer. And some of you have older Bibles. You know that later on, people added a little phrase called "and fasting." That wasn't in the original. It's just by prayer. By prayer. And when we look at the disciples' experience, we need to unpack and say, well, what does this teach us about not just receiving prayer, but being the people who are praying for others? And I think one of the things that will happen for us as a community as we walk in this is we'll be praying for each other. There's times when I'm praying for you and times when you're praying for me. And hopefully together we'll have the experience of both receiving prayer, being like that father who says, help me overcome my unbelief, but also being the people who do pray. Being the people who pray for others. I think what we learn through this is that healing is not something that we produce somehow from our own ability, our own goodness, our own power. Healing is something that Jesus does through us for the sake of others around us. It's something that God gives us the power to do as we're on the mission He's called us into. As we are representing the kingdom of God in our valley and in our lives, God wants to work through us. He wants to bring joy and healing and goodness and forgiveness and life to the people and the families and the men and the women and the children that live their lives around us. He wants to do that through us, but that's not something that comes from us. It's not something because you're such a great guy you get to heal. Or you're such a person that, you know, just glows with life, therefore you get to have the power. It doesn't work like that. It's something that Jesus does through us. It's a grace that we extend to others as people who are under the authority of Jesus. That's not something that we authorize. Why were these disciples unable to cast this demon out as they had previously done? I think it's like, I mean, you have to read a little bit creatively and try to figure out like what's going on here based on what Jesus says and trying to understand, but Jesus' response to them seems to suggest that they've forgotten that we can only minister. We can only offer healing. We can only pray. We can only tell others about Jesus through the power of Jesus Himself. That it's not like the Christian life or declaring the kingdom of God or living out our faith in front of others. It's not like it's something we learn from Jesus and we learn to figure it out on our own and then we go off and we do it independently from Jesus. But that's not the Christian life. And when we think of prayer, and particularly praying for healing, it looks like these disciples maybe had bought into the idea that they had learned the trick. They've figured out the formula, you know? We've been there, done that, and shoot, we should be able to do this without Jesus. I know Jesus is up the mountain with, you know, those three. But what do we need Jesus for? We should be able to do this ourselves, right? And it seems to be that kind of attitude at work. Maybe they had forgotten the source of healing. Maybe their trust in Jesus at this point had dropped so low that they were just sort of going through the motions, just doing what they had always done, but man, it's not working. And what was the effect? Well, not only did they give opportunity to the religious leadership who were just ready to pounce at any time, not only did they give them the opportunity to begin arguing with them and calling into question what they were doing and, you know, bringing everything down, but I think they seriously discouraged this father. I thought about that just as sort of a side point, that when we begin to minister cut off from our dependence in Jesus, when we begin to, you know, try to live the Christian life in our own strength and not dependent upon the Holy Spirit filling us and guiding us. When we begin to sort of do the Christian thing but disconnected from our relationship with God, I think it does kind of what happened in this father's life. I think it leads to not only discouragement in our own lives, but I think we begin to really discourage others. Because they're sort of hearing something. They're hearing something from us that sort of promises joy or suggests that there's a God who loves them, but somehow there's something off. There's something not right. And what we see in this disciple's life is because they were maybe trying to do it on their own, or they've forgotten about Jesus, or whatever was going on there, all they had done to this father is brought him lower and lower and lower. And he wasn't even sure in the end, when Jesus finally did show up, that Jesus could even do anything, because, shoot, your disciples couldn't. What, you know, chance do you have? The only way that people's lives will be touched by the grace and the healing of Jesus is if we remain dependently connected to the life and the power of Jesus in our own lives. And this is why I think Jesus at the end says, through prayer. Prayer is not some formula, some magical thing. It's not something that just exists out there independently, but rather the prayer that Jesus is talking about us living lives connected to the source, connected to Jesus, walking in the Spirit each and every day, living in a relationship with Jesus that is transforming us, is healing us, is digging out some of those ugly roots that need to be brought out and healed in us. And as we're connected to Jesus daily, and as we walk in the Spirit regularly, we're then able to extend the grace of Jesus into people's lives. We become the hands and the feet of Jesus as the body of Christ, bringing His love and His healing and His life to broken people's lives. One of the things you can put on the screen there, I think really stands out to me is when we think about healing is that we actually don't trust in the power of prayer. You've all heard that, right? I trust in the power of prayer. We don't trust in the power of prayer because you can be praying to who knows who, right? We don't trust in the power of prayer as Christians. We trust in the power of Jesus. And our prayer expresses that trust. Do you see the difference there? Because for some people, and I think for some traditions, prayer becomes like a formula or like a almost like a magic thing. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being people so connected to Jesus that when we go into people's lives and they're broken and they're in need of a touch and they're in need of prayer, that what we're doing is we're extending the grace that Jesus has given to us and is working our lives to them. We become that representation of Jesus in their life. And together, what we're doing is we're really just saying, hey, let's talk to Jesus about this. Hey, let's go to Jesus about this. It's not about me. And yet, God uses us to bring that healing into people's lives. Well, that story, I think, gives lots of challenge for us. But I know that there are maybe lots of questions, lots of discussion, maybe disagreement. I'm not sure. I'd like us to have a few moments to grapple with this together. Like, maybe have some questions about this passage, things that we didn't talk about. Maybe questions particularly about prayer, or maybe why you're afraid to pray, why praying for healing has been something difficult for you, or maybe just non-existent in your life. And so let's spend a few moments talking about this. What kind of questions or comments would you bring to the community about this? And do you have a microphone to carry around? Because I think maybe for today it would be helpful if we did that. And Roger, could I ask you to do your duty? Thanks. Roger will come around with the microphone if there's questions or comments that you'd like to make. I think that, there's a lot more that could be said. But for now, the challenge for us today as we become people of prayer is to take some of what we've heard this morning to ask, how do we now pray? How do we pray with each other? So what kind of questions or comments do you have today? Cheryl.
Thanks. I was just going to share something that's been really helpful to me that I learned. Just regarding faith, is everyone has faith. It just depends on what kingdom you have faith in, the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of heaven. And God's will is that kingdom of darkness is defeated in every situation. So we just got to kind of align yourself with that. Kingdom of heaven is defeated, the kingdom of darkness, and everyone struggles with your faith in the wrong kingdom at some point, I would imagine. But just seeing it that way for me just really helps to put things in perspective.
Thank you.
God is way bigger.
Thank you. Awesome. Other comments or thoughts? Questions?
How do you deal with when God doesn't heal? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, or we've done it before, we've prayed before, we thought we had faith, we've heard, like you said, all of those things.
Yeah.
And people still die.
That's right.
Because of those things. So what?
Thanks, Brooke. Absolutely. And one of the things that challenges us is we realize that when we're reading the Gospels, they didn't record much, at least, of, you know, stories of someone who didn't get healed. And seems to suggest that pretty much everyone Jesus, you know, went to and prayed for did get healed. But what we know from experience and from life is that people have prayed in faith and died, and people have prayed in faith and they've been raised up. I don't have an answer for that. What I do know is this. Whenever people have decided, I've figured out the answer as to why, it usually results in making the people who are receiving the prayer feel worse. What I mean by that is, in my experience, when people have prayed in simple faith and asked Jesus to heal and there hasn't been a healing, and when people have stepped in to say, here's why there hasn't been a healing, usually that person is told they don't have enough faith. There might be sin, and there must be sin in their lives. And sometimes there could be sin in their lives, but not always. They're told a number of things that kind of try to let God off the hook. Well, you know, God really did want to heal, but there must have been something in the way. I don't buy that. Here's why. Because there's a bigger God at work who has bigger things in store, who has a way bigger perspective than we do. I think we can pray in faith for healing, and then we have to sometimes continue to pray in faith for healing, but also rest in the love of Jesus that doesn't change whether people go to their graves or not. You know, this last week, we buried a loved member of our family, Lillian Edie. And I had the privilege of preaching at her funeral. You know, this is a woman of incredible faith. This is a woman who saw healings in her own life and in the lives of her family. And yet, this is also a woman, and family members are here, whose own son was diagnosed with cancer and died in grade 9. And they prayed for healing in faith, and he died. And here's a woman who just under a month ago, or just over a month ago, was diagnosed and died very, very quickly. And we prayed for healing, but God didn't step in that particular way and heal. But when I look at the life legacy she's had, and I believe as the person I was, you know, preaching at this funeral, I was struck by the fact that her sudden passing was a way that, this is at least one of the ways, that God was able to get people's attention. To give them, if you want to say, a wake-up call. To give them an opportunity to see that, boy, if she could die that suddenly, so could I. And take a really good, hard look at their lives. And I don't know the reason why she wasn't healed. But I do know that God has this amazing way of using incredibly hard stuff to perform His will. Nicky Gumbel, he's the guy who does a lot of the Alpha teaching. This is the way that he relates it in their church setting as they explored and learned about healing. And I think it helps. He says, you know, back in the day when we never prayed for healing, very, very few, if any, people got healed. Very few people did. Because we never prayed for it. We never asked for it. We didn't look for it. It didn't happen very much. He says, now we pray for everyone to receive healing. And we see some people getting healed. He said, I don't know why. And he relates stories of people who've been raised up miraculously and stories of people they've prayed and prayed and prayed for and they've died. So I don't know why that is. What I do know is, and I love this, a lot more people are being healed now than were being healed before. What do you do with that? One of the things that challenges me in this story and other stories is that we come to Jesus for healing, and sometimes Jesus, I believe, looks at us and says, I know you think that's what you need, but actually your need for me is greater than that. I know that you believe that if this thing would happen in your life, sometimes it's physical healing, sometimes it's the healing of a broken relationship, sometimes it's something you should change in my life so that I can. And we come to Jesus believing that this is actually what it would take for my life to be good. This is actually what it would take for my life to flourish. And in some way, we begin to say, this is actually what I need. We wouldn't say it this way, but so I can be saved. So I can live the life God wanted me to live. And Jesus looks at us and says, it's not. I could heal you today and nothing would change in your life. I could heal you today and in 3 weeks you'd forgotten who I am. What you really need is me. That's what you really need me and a relationship with me. And I think sometimes that may explain the delay. Sometimes it may explain why people aren't healed. I don't know all that. But what I do know is that when we come to Jesus for healing, what we begin to realize is, yeah, we might need healing, but what we really and truly need is Jesus. What we really and truly need is Jesus in our lives, shaping us wherever we're at. And when we come to Jesus for healing, I think that's the attitude we need to come with. Like, let's be honest. Let's tell Jesus what we need. But at the end of the day, we don't stop off because Jesus didn't respond the way that we thought he should. We are entrusting our lives to Jesus and saying, when I look at the character and the heart of Jesus, I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that what he wants for me is wholeness and life and freedom. That he wants a relationship with me that transforms my life and my family and the people around me. That this Jesus is so good and so gracious that I can entrust my whole life to him, believing him and letting him lead. And if there's things that don't seem to work the way I thought they should, I'm going to keep trusting in the goodness and the grace of Jesus in my life. It's not a simple answer. It certainly wasn't a short answer. I apologize. But that's how I grapple with it. Roger, Val?
Kind of sounds like a bit of a roll of the dice there, but when do we stop asking and start stepping out to believe? Since the beginning of time, God knew our request. You know, I've prayed for healing lots of times. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just forget that I've already asked, and I just need to start thanking for that healing. How can you give me a little more information on that?
Thanks, Val. I do think that's going to be different for different people in their particular situation. And it's going to be different based on a variety of things. Like, for example, I know that some of you have prayed for decades for your kids to come to know Jesus or to come back or for there to be healing. And we all recognize that when there's other dynamics at work there. And we're not the only players in this. And then sometimes we pray for something physically. And there's things where I don't know why there's a delay, or I don't know why there seems to be no response. I think I've talked to a number of you where some of you have felt like, I need to keep praying, that this is actually what Jesus wants me to do, is to continue to pray and believe in him and to entrust myself to him in that process. And there's others, I've heard some of you have said, I prayed and prayed and prayed for this, and I feel like at a certain point, God said, I've heard your prayer, and now just continue to follow me. And they felt a release, or they felt like, not that God said, stop praying about it, but the sense of like, I feel I have to be at peace with this. I have to believe that Jesus is in my life, and I'm in his hands, and though I do not understand why such and such a thing doesn't happen or does happen, the call in that is to continue to follow him and trust him. Where I think we get off the tracks or we get in trouble is when we begin to try to dig so deeply into the whys that we end up taking our eyes off the Jesus who loves us and has promised to walk with us and is in our lives. And we begin to turn our attention back to, well, maybe it's just something about me that is just wrong. Or maybe it's something about my faith, or it's something about my community, or it's something about them, or it's something about maybe I'm missing a formula, or I'm missing some key thing. And hear me rightly. Sin can be a real problem. I'm not joking about that. And there's times where Jesus says, look, I want you to dig in deep and let me examine areas of your heart that are really messed up, that I need to heal and forgive. And there can even be a connection between that. We've talked about that. Don't get me wrong. But I think at a certain point, we're able to say to Jesus, we're asking in faith and prayer, and as far as we can understand, and as far as we've searched this out, we've discerned this, we've talked about it, we've prayed about it, we don't think at this point there's some sort of hidden sin or there's some sort of way that we're missing it. And at this point, Jesus doesn't seem to be responding in the way we are hoping he would. And at that point, we need to trust that Jesus is still at work and still present and still, I believe, wants to bring healing and goodness and grace into our lives, but it's on a different timetable. And we need to be open to what the Spirit is saying in the midst of that and also continue to trust in Jesus. He may ask us to stop praying in that sense. He may ask us to continue just trusting him in faith for that. That, I think, is going to be in community as we discuss that and pray with each other and in our own hearts as we journey with Jesus. That's not a simple answer, I realize. Because when we're talking about those things, there isn't a simple answer. Yeah. Other thoughts? Dwayne and Terry? There you go, Dwayne.
I guess the way I look at it is to live is gain and to die is gain. I mean, if I die and go to heaven, that's really the ultimate healing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a win-win situation.
It's true. It's true. You know, this week it's such a privilege to bury someone of faith, right? Because you're able to see. Yes, we mourn the passing of Lillian this last week for sure. But the mourning isn't out of this sense of despair or confusion. It's saying, wow, we are going to miss her and her grace and her wit and her humor. But you know, and as we lowered her casket into the ground on Thursday, we realized, you know, this isn't, for a Christian, this is much less a burial place. This is a place of resurrection. This is the place where she is will be raised up for her in her new body. And that just changes everything. That ultimate healing is coming, whether it happens tomorrow, 10 years from now, or when we die. It is coming. We hold on to that. We believe that. But we also do see that God wants to bring healing and grace into our lives now. That it isn't just all, you know, heavy weighted to the end. That there's a sense we begin to experience the kingdom of God in the present. And we want to be honest and pray for that. But also all in light of that hope we have, the resurrection hope. Terry? Right here, Roger.
I think it's on a day-to-day basis as we're praying for people like little Garrett Sorensen who, you know, are struggling with cancer and there's so many people that are struggling with some huge things that it's hard to come back and be personal and say, you know, I have this issue and it's small and be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And still coming back to Jesus as along the praying for others and feeling that you're worthy to ask for prayer for yourself.
Yeah, I hear you, Terry. I mean, the reality is Jesus cares for us. And, of course, there are tremendous evils in this world and horrific things that happen that we do recognize of, well, that really does make my issue pale. I get that. But Jesus cares for us. He really does. I know it's hard sometimes to imagine, but you know, Jesus cares for your sore back. He does. He wants you to be fully able to serve your family and serve. And so there's nothing wrong with going to friends and saying, please pray for my back. It hurts. You know? Yes, that's right. Yeah, and so there's and there's stories of that. And yes, that seems simple. And yes, if you're constantly comparing it to these great evils, it can feel like, well, Jesus, I don't want to bother you with that. But that's not the Jesus we serve. The Jesus we serve knows us and loves us. He knows about some of your physical issues. He knows about some of the emotional hurts that you're carrying. He knows some of the fractures in your soul from wounds caused many years ago. He knows those things. And I think what we're learning as a community is that as we follow this Jesus, we can come to him and we can ask him simply and we can pray in faith. And we don't need to, you know, demand, and we don't need to cajole, and we don't need to, you know, try to get God's attention. We can simply come together and pray for each other. We can simply come together and say, Jesus, we need you to heal. Jesus, we know that you love us. Would you touch this person's life? We want to get practical today, and we want to do that. Thanks, Raj, for the walking around with the microphone. When I reflected on this passage and prayed about it, I felt like there really is only one way to respond to this morning, and that is to have an opportunity to pray for one another. Like, I just think it would be a real miss to somehow look at this story and feel the weight of it, and then not actually have an opportunity to pray for one another. And so we're going to do that, but let me just say, before we get into that, the rollout from this, I hope, is that we as a community become more accustomed, less awkward, that it would be more normal than ever to talk to someone, find out that they're struggling with something, and to say, hey, let's pray about this together. And I know some of you are doing that. Some of you do it a lot. But I think there's many of us that we just will share that with each other and we'll say, well, that's too bad. And we'll kind of leave it at that. And I'm hoping that as a community, we become more and more ready and willing and equipped to say, well, let's pray together about that. Let's pray right now. I know we're standing in the middle of the street in Creston, but that's okay. Or I know we're here at coffee time after church, but that's okay. Or we run into each other, or we're in each other's homes. That we just, it becomes more of our normal practice as Christians to pray for one another. Because I think it should be. And I think for too long, too many of us weren't saying, hey, we can pray for one another and believe that because Jesus is present, he can heal. And to do that with a simple confidence in the love and the power of Jesus. So I want to challenge you, particularly in these next 7 days, that the next time you're talking to somebody, particularly another believer, but pray for people who don't know Jesus, that's fine too, if they're willing to, like, you have to ask the permission. You may feel uncomfortable if you pounce on them. But if you are in conversation with someone and they talk about something that's bothering them, something that's hurting them, something that is upsetting to them, if you get to that level in the conversation where there's honesty about anything from a sore neck to a significant disease, that you would say, can we pray about that? Can we pray about that right now? Can I put my hand on your shoulder and can we ask Jesus to heal you? I challenge you this week to do that at least one time.